Our movie scene for Happiness just so happens to come from my favorite director of all time. I recently rewatched this movie, and let me tell you, it just might be the most joyful movie that I've seen in a very long time. So put on your happy face and let's take a listen to this scene from Hook.
My happy thought. I got it. I got it. I found it. I lost it.
Just hold that happy thought, Peter!
You can fly, you can fight, and you can...
In this scene, Peter Banning has just remembered his childhood in Neverland as Peter Pan. He simply has to, in the words of another Peter Pan movie, think of a wonderful thought, any happy little thought, and before he knows it, he is flying again. This is just one of the most unapologetically joyful movie sequences that I've ever seen. The way the music swells as Peter flies around the Lost Boys hideout, the way we keep catching glimpses of Robin Williams' childlike grin, the way the Lost Boys cheer and swarm him when he lands, it all works together so well to paint the picture of a seemingly impossible goal being reached for our protagonist. When Peter lands in front of Rufio at the end of that clip and proves himself to truly be the real deal Peter Pan, the Lost Boys can't help but celebrate. Their leader has returned and they're so joyful, and there's not a ton of dialogue here. Honestly, there's not a ton of dialogue in any happy celebration scene in a movie. So think of your favorite movie victory. These can be things like the Ewok dance party in Return of the Jedi, Yo Adrian, I Did It from Rocky II, or Daniel's crane kick from The Karate Kid. These are some of the happiest scenes in cinema, and most of the emotion is communicated non-verbally. Through music, smiles, tears, dancing, hugs, celebration often goes beyond words and comes from something deeper inside of us. And I think these types of scenes help to remind us that it's okay to just forget about words sometimes and simply celebrate with the people around us.
Welcome to Story Shaped Life, a podcast where we try to help make sense of the stories we believe about ourselves, others, and the world we live in. We're your hosts. I'm Sam.
And Ben.
This season, we're talking about emotions. We're joined by Emily, a licensed professional counselor who will help us unpack the meaning and motivation behind the way we feel.
All right. You ready to get this started?
Oh, am I ready? I am. I am ready. Hello. Welcome to our episode on happiness. Emily, do you want to give us our overview on the emotion of happiness?
Yes. So happiness signals to us that we have met some accomplishment or goal, and it gives us the energy to celebrate.
Having that in mind, what are some words that we use in place of happiness that we can think of?
With this specific definition, I think proud, we use that about accomplishments more than like, I'm happy about this accomplishment. I'm proud of this accomplishment.
Yeah, we'll get to the question that I have about the whole accomplishment thing here in a second. But words that I think we use or that I find myself using when I'm expressing happiness or trying to explain to somebody that I'm happy. You mentioned one earlier, actually, and that's excited.
Yeah.
I think that's one that I use often and a lot of us use often. It's like, oh, I'm really excited. It's like, I'm really happy about XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the words I'm thinking of are honestly words that are not in a lasting vernacular.
Yeah. Like stoked.
Yeah. Stoked, pumped, you know, words mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily going to be used in 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So if you're a future civilization listening to this podcast,
and dismiss everything dismiss. I just said.
And you're wondering what those words meant. Now you know. I think we do use a lot of slang. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know exactly why. There's probably something there that's interesting that we use more slang for happiness than any other emotion I can think of.
Yeah.
Well, not to beat a dead horse, but I think it has to do with vulnerability. Like, it is a very vulnerable thing to share that we're happy about something because it means that we have achieved something. Like, if our non-vulnerable self is always working towards accomplishing the next thing, like, pausing to be happy and be pleased with yourself is kind of vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to ask more questions on that further. But first, I would like to hear kind of a breakdown of this definition. Talk a little bit more of what goals look like and what achievement of those goals looks like.
Yeah. I mean, that can look like a lot of different things, as small as like you checked things off of your to-do list that day, to you did something that's not in your comfort zone that you were trying to push yourself to do, or connected with somebody that's usually hard for you to connect with. It doesn't have to be like, you know, my goals for 2020 at work are to grow in these ways. I mean, that could definitely be something too, but it doesn't have to be that official, I guess.
Yeah, this might be a good place to bring back something that we talked about with fear and safety and maybe a couple of others, but the idea that the needs or the way that the emotions are applied aren't always the most obvious or the, you know, a single idea. So, you know, this idea of like accomplishment, I guess what I'm hearing from you is this, it doesn't have to just be actions. It can be relational achievements. It can be, I don't know, mental, emotional, or does it make sense? Like there's various kind of elements to it. And like for myself, I think there are times that I've experienced in work, even lately, where I'm happy. If I'm thinking about it now, I'm happy about a project that we put together, not even because of what we accomplished in the project itself, but because of some person recognized value in the work. And so it's like the accomplishment is relational in that sense. Like the project itself is like, sure, cool, whatever. But I didn't really get a huge boost of happiness through it. Yeah. But when somebody else says, man, I thought that was really great, there's something about something I've been waiting on or hoping for in that relationship that pays off. And then that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to add to that is remembering the differences between, I guess, implicit and explicit. And so I think that happens with goals a lot, that there's a lot of implicit goals that we don't necessarily identify off the bat.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, for example, in the story you told, the explicit goal might be accomplishing whatever task for work. The implicit goal might be building relationships with the coworkers teaming together, that kind of thing that maybe you wouldn't normally express, but it brings you happiness.
Or even recognize.
Yes, absolutely.
Overtly. Right. Oh, I've been wanting to build a stronger relationship with this person. Exactly. All of a sudden they say something and I get happy without recognizing that's been an implicit goal that I've had.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. I like that.
So maybe what we're saying is happiness can work backwards sometimes, where you feel happy and you're like, what goal did I think I accomplished?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to kind of like ask a question I think y'all are asking. Explain a question I think y'all are asking. In scenarios like, it's a beautiful day and the sun is shining and I got to take a walk, I think that is more safe than happy. Certainly there, like maybe if you got to take a walk on a beautiful day, like, and one of your goals for life is getting outdoors more, that in itself is an accomplishment. But this like, I can feel the wind blowing on my face and the sun shining and it's just like nice to be alive, that's safe. And I think that a lot of times people confuse that for happiness.
The thought I had of a word that I don't know if we've talked about a lot, that example gave me and made me think of, is the word peace. And how oftentimes, like, I would understand that peace is mostly safety. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's happiness elements to it.
Yep.
But people will always associate it to happiness.
Yeah.
Which in that scenario, then, if happiness comes out of a sense of safety, there's some goal attached to being safe.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
And we kind of go back to the idea of safety being unique in the sense that it's a need. Mm-hmm. And so and it's always going to play this interesting role with all the other emotions.
And be a goal.
Yeah. It can actually be a goal in and of itself.
And then the other side of the definition is celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that celebration look like? I think people, and this happens with all the words we're really using, we unpack them more and more and more as mm-hmm. we talk, but like at least my understanding of celebration is very...
Throw a party.
In your face. Yeah.
Right.
It's very obvious. Yeah. And I don't think that's always how it presents itself.
Yeah. Good question. We don't need a parade to go through town just because we had a good conversation with someone or something like that. I'll just use a personal example. There was a job that I had a few years ago that was really outside of my comfort zone and only lasted a few months for a lot of different reasons. But on my way home, on my last day, I'm really bad at celebrating and was trying to make an effort to celebrate. So I realized I need to celebrate that I gave this job a try and that it's my last day. And I stopped on the way home and got a snow cone and out loud to myself in the car, this sounds so crazy now, kind of gave myself this pep talk about like, you know what, that was a really hard thing that you did and you tried it and it wasn't great all the time, but you did it and you learned a lot from it. Cheers to you, Emily. And that was my version of celebrating. And I think I would have done myself a disservice had I just like let the last day go and just come home like it was any other day and carry out through life. You know, it was necessary for me to celebrate in that small way and recognize the accomplishment.
And that brings up an interesting point, too, of the value of celebrating those small moments. I think me and a friend were talking the other day. Every time I go to counseling, I give myself a treat after counseling, which is very like lollipop when you go to the doctor.
Right.
It's the mental health equivalent. Yep. But there's a lot of value of celebrating those little moments. And even like, I guess this is kind of the direction we're going, but I think happiness is something that has to be practiced.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't practice
it.
It's so obvious. And I think to everyone, it's very obvious when you find someone who does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who, you know, the kind of person where you're like, wow, they're finding like so much happiness in these moments, mm-hmm. even though mm-hmm. they're going through the same hard experience mm-hmm. as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it
stands out.
Yeah. It's weird that we enjoy being around those people so much that give us permission or give themselves permission to celebrate.
Yeah.
And yet still struggle. Like, I guess in some ways that's proof of how much we struggle to celebrate.
Right.
That we are so drawn to those people that are willing to let themselves do that.
Yeah. It is really interesting that, you know, most people that come into my office, their goal is to be happy. And we so naturally feel emotions like sadness, hurt, and anger. We may not express them very well, but we very naturally feel them. And then happiness is what we want. And yet we don't naturally feel happy all the time.
Yeah, it seems like there's two pieces to happiness that are really unique and interesting to me in this definition in terms of how we get to happiness. What you just said kind of made me think this, that if on one side happiness points out a goal in some way that we've accomplished, right, and then gives us the energy to celebrate, that if we lack that, then in many ways I wonder, are we not aware again of the goals that we have implicitly, right? Have we not kind of pulled them up? And there will always be implicit goals, and it's not that there's anything wrong with that, but have we let too many of them become subsurface and we're not recognize them?
Mm-hmm.
And then two, kind of to your point, what we were saying, do we not then make time to celebrate them in one form or another? And therefore we live consistently either missing or in some ways kind of killing happiness.
Right. And I think where that like missing or killing happiness, a lot of where that comes from is perfectionism. It's not that we don't give ourselves time to celebrate. It's that the goals that we have or the achievements that we want to experience are unrealistic. So we're holding ourselves to this standard that we will never be able to reach. So we never can feel happy because we never meet our goals.
Yeah. And a conversation about perfectionism brings up a point that I've had a lot of conversations about this week, even because of the industry I'm in. One of the questions I get a lot, that's a question I absolutely abhor, is the question of like, hey, so when does your band make it? Like, when are you going to say your band made it? And I say, never, because there's always going to be a new goal. You know, I don't look at any band and them saying like, wow, we hit the pinnacle. There is no pinnacle. Pinnacle keeps rising. Mm. There's always a new goal.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people set up these goals that they don't realize once they get there, there's just going to be a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the perfectionism comes in. Well, like, oh, we got to this point, but we haven't gotten to this other point.
Right.
Unfortunately, the result of that is that you don't celebrate the things you do accomplish. And so I think this is where present living comes in, in opposition to future living.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to all the emotions we're talking about.
Yeah,
The emotions, and being healthy in your emotions requires you living in the present,
mm-hmm.
and really bringing yourself down to where you're at currently.
Yeah.
And so I currently, in the example of the band, can look at where the band's at now and be like, wow, we have grown so much.
Yeah.
We're in such a different position than we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrate that.
Yeah.
Rather than always looking towards the next thing that we can get into, which is important.
Right. There's nothing wrong with having a next goal, right? Like, that would keep us stuck if we didn't raise the bar. But if we don't stop to celebrate before we raise the bar, then we're going to wear ourselves out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which leads us to the conversation about where we see happiness in our society or American culture, how we see it playing out, how we see it being healthy or unhealthy. And I think a big piece of this conversation, of this kind of sense of how happiness works out in our culture, is this idea of perfectionism, is this kind of implicit, unfortunate piece that we have about not letting people or ourselves be happy because the goals that we're reaching aren't sufficient or aren't the end. You know, there's always something else. And mm-hmm. so it's like, well, yeah, that was great. But, and we say that to ourselves and we say that to others. And so we have developed, I think, a culture and a society of that inhibits or constrains happiness
mm-hmm.
because we're constantly trying to grow and change. And not even all of us, I think this is what's funny about society, right? There's a lot of the things that we believe about ourselves that we've set up but aren't actually real. So in America, we like to see ourselves as being extremely entrepreneurial, always doing better, always growing. And just as a whole, that we elevate and we value that a lot, right? This like always pressing forward, you know? But not all of us are like that, and that's okay. But because that's what we value the most, we kind of have to create that and develop this sort of persona around that idea. And that, I think, is where we get a lot of problems because, again, we're not stopping to say, well, what I've gotten to here is sufficient. A lot to what you're saying already, Samuel, that this taking your example and just kind of going across the board and saying we really need to be willing to allow ourselves and others to reach mile markers and be happy for those and celebrate those. And then ask the next, you know, is there something else after that?
I think one of the big statements I would give is I think we have very much lost the value of celebrating others. And there's a lot of things that feed into this. So there's jealousy of someone else's accomplishments, but I would go further to say, I think there is this thought process that is, if someone else is happy about their accomplishments, that somehow either negates or lessens the happiness that I'm allowed to have in my accomplishments.
Mm.
And I say that for two reasons, or it could go two different ways. One way is, if in comparison, I think my accomplishments are more significant, then I think you can't be that happy because your accomplishments don't seem as significant.
Right.
Mm. And on the flip side, if yours seem more significant, I can't be happy, or you can't be happy about yours, because, man, that's just showing off.
Right.
And that leads me to jealousy.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's a weird dynamic, because there's no winning in it.
Right.
And there's no celebrating others.
And a lot of it goes back, I think, to the idea of, like, we are only measuring accomplishments one way.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And so it's really limited if you're only going to measure your accomplishments and be happy about a certain type of goal that only works out in a certain type of way.
Another kind of cultural bubble I think I'm going to pop.
Oh, go for it.
Okay.
I will hand you the needle.
Okay. The whole, like, okay, so I don't disagree with self-care. I think it's very important. But the whole, like, treat yourself 24/7, like,
you're worth it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Goddess.
Yes. Thank you. This is what I'm talking about. Unattached to happiness isn't as valuable. So I'm not saying you have to, you know, make 100 on a test in order to treat yourself, but pay attention to the things that you've accomplished, the goals that you've set for yourself, and then treat yourself. There's so much more happiness in that than just, like, I'm a goddess, so I deserve it kind of thing. Gosh, and this is so sticky, because I don't want this to get attached to, like, your worth is in what you can accomplish. But if we really are setting goals that are healthy and realistic for ourselves, then we should be able to celebrate ourselves often. And I think we are, like, happier with those celebrations if we have something to attach it to.
Well, and I think a key piece of this is there is worth in our accomplishments, in the sense that, like, our relational accomplishments, our work accomplishments, but with a huge but thrown in there, you get to decide what those are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the game-changing piece.
You don't have to wait for somebody else to tell you.
Exactly. Nobody else gets to decide what that accomplishment is. Mm-hmm. And I think, to your point, to mask that, I'm not accusing anybody, but if we have to resort as a society to, you're great no matter what, you deserve to treat yourself, sans actually accomplishing things that are important to us as mm-hmm. individuals, mm-hmm. We're just masking things, right? We're just covering up the fact that we're not really reaching the potential that we want to reach for ourselves. So again, there's a kind of tricky piece hidden here that we're trying to say, you aren't determined by what you can accomplish in the eyes of others, but there is a, like, hey, but if you live up to your own standards and desires and goals, you actually will experience happiness. So we want that for you.
Right.
Well, and I would go as far to say is that this culture, we're calling it treat yourself. There's probably a better way to reference it, but comes out of the fact that people don't feel like they can celebrate their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so they feel like their goals aren't worth it enough. So they have to assign worth somewhere.
Right.
So they're saying, you know what? I'm not going to put my goals out there because people might come at me for the goals that I set that I thought I accomplished. So I'm just going to say I deserve it in general.
Right.
And that's fine to an extent, but you lose the value of really the specificity and how important that is to mm-hmm. moving mm-hmm. forward.
Yep. And I think the reason we feel the need to treat ourselves just because is because we're such a burnt out, exhausted, stressed to the max culture, because we don't celebrate our accomplishments.
Yes. And I think because we're letting other people determine what those accomplishments should be for us.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
We're exhausted from letting other people say, you should be reaching this goal. And so we're not hitting the goals that we have for ourselves. And so we turn to this treat yourself culture, which, again, there's a good side to that too. There are days when you need that. I'm not trying to throw it out completely, but to live in as your constant fallback, that's when things get a little weird and which, just to kind of wrap this up, I think to me, what defines the difference between these two things is when we're treating ourselves because, like, let me put it a different way. When we are choosing to stop and celebrate in a small way some accomplishment that up until now we thought wasn't deserving of celebration, if that's what treating ourselves mean, do that all the time, please. Mm-hmm. Like, recognize small goals that you've made, small accomplishments, and that are worth celebrating. And even if the rest of society thinks that's dumb, go for it, right? If you're treating yourself is essentially a form of escapism to get away from that list of goals that somebody else has given you or that you've placed on yourself that are like unrealistic and like you will never be able to reach, then I think that becomes a marker or a way of recognizing there's something wrong with our sense of happiness and how we work out happiness in our life because we're falling back into this escapism, this way of getting away from actual life to feel better instead of feeling happiness in our life.
I think that wraps us up really well with two main takeaways, which are one, enjoy and celebrate the goals that you have accomplished, regardless of whether they're like just your personal goals, whether other people would recognize them or not. Celebrate those mm-hmm. and take the time to find those. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, be very wary of setting goals that are unrealistic mm-hmm. or perfectionistic in nature mm-hmm. that you know you're not going to hit because that will lead to escapism. Mm-hmm.
And if this feels like too hard to do for yourself, because oftentimes that's kind of how I've realized this works out, I think something you said earlier, Samuel, could be a really good way for us to start. And that is try celebrating the people around you more. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be big things. Like I think Em and I have gotten a lot better at this over the years in our marriage. But for example, the other day we bought a new bookshelf from Target. And if you're in a relationship with somebody, a long-term relationship with somebody, that one of the best things you can do, I think, is to build IKEA or Target furniture together. It's super frustrating. It's great. Anyway, I thought we needed to get a certain color to match the wood in our living room. Em thought it was a different one. I was finally like, sure, okay, we'll go with your idea. Nailed it. It is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I told her, I was like, hey, fantastic job on picking that color. High five. Right. Like, and I think those things we've gotten a little bit better at over the years, and it makes a big difference in how you begin to even, if it's like, oh, I was allowed to high five you for doing, oh, I can high five myself for that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it begins to change.
It gives you permission to feel
you are helping rewrite the rules of celebration for yourself when you're doing that for somebody else.
Yeah.
So if it's too hard to think about how you're going to do that for yourself, I think starting with others is a very quick way to get into that.
Tagging on to what you were saying. So don't make unrealistic goals for yourself, and also don't let other people make your goals because you won't feel the need to celebrate them if you didn't actually believe them to be your goals.
And we said that, I think this is what we're saying. We said like culture defines your goal. That can be people that really care about you and you care about them, right? You can have family, you can have friends and they set goals, and they can be well-meaning, but that is not their role. That is not their job. And so you can take advice about what they think your goal should be and what, right? But that still has to be you, and letting them decide that for you is not going to go well. So let's throw that one out there.
Yeah. That's great. We're wrapping up this episode. We're trekking through the emotions. We've got, I think, two left, and then our little bonus episode. So that means it is time for you, the listener, to reach out to us via email, storyshapedlife@gmail.com, with your questions. If you have any examples, thoughts, things to add on happiness specifically from today's episode, we ask that you send those to us or reach out to us on our Instagram @storyshapedlife. And big shout out, as always, to the hunky chunky boys of Two Chunks and a Hunk.
I'm sure they love that. The hunky chunky boys.
And
they're all hunky and chunky all rolled up into one.
Yes.
Yeah. And the last piece is, if you have words that you can think of that you use to describe happiness, or that you use with friends and family when you're expressing happiness, send those to us. Email those to us. Just send us a message on Instagram. We really love to grab those and put them together into something, this tool that we're putting together for the end of the series. So slang is okay, because I think we again talked about how some of those are kind of, I don't know, they're important to us right now. And so just whatever words those are, send those our way.
And we'll see you next week
when we talk about Guilt.
Dang it.
Yeah, sorry.
So close.
You want to say it again? Guilt.